I'm just going to share really briefly. We'll be done by 12. This vision I had from the Lord when I was in Bible college, so probably 17, 18, 19 years ago, has totally shaped my the way I see ministry, the way I see what God is doing in the world, and it's defined my bullseye that I aim at. And when I was in Bible college, I was just seeking the Lord. Autumn and I were newly married, and I was just in a season where I was just praying and fasting over my calling. And I was praying for the nations, and I was just wanting to really grow in prayer. And as I was praying, the Lord gave me a vision. And in this vision, I saw a wall. It was like this gray charcoal-colored wall made up of stones. And standing in front of the wall, I saw this demon. It was the same color as the stones. It was a charcoal gray color, and it was just standing there. And all of a sudden, as I watched this demon, it rolled up into the shape of a stone, and then it fit into the wall. And I knew instantly that this was a demonic wall literally made up of who knows how many. I mean, tons and tons and tons and tons of demons. And I'm watching this wall, and then I hear a voice say to me in the vision while I'm watching this, and the voice says to me, there are demonic walls around cities and nations and regions of the world. And instantly, I just had this knowing, you know, and I thought of like, Russia, and I'm thinking communism. And I think of Middle East, and I'm thinking, India, Hinduism. And I'm thinking of other nations in the Middle East, you know, Islam. And, you know, every city, every nation's got their own walls, these demonic walls. And then this, and I just know that instantly. And then the voice says, these walls exist solely for the purpose of keeping out the light of the gospel. That's why these walls are there. And then he speaks to me, this voice speaks to me, and he says, but just like the walls of Jericho, you guys are familiar with that? Okay? It says, just like the walls of Jericho, every single one of these demonic walls are coming down. And the demonic walls of Jericho, the walls of Jericho, these walls were considered in that day, they were like this impenetrable fortress. It was this huge wall. Cities back then, they would build these walls up for protection to keep out invading armies, right? You guys with me? And so these walls of Jericho were especially fortified. And it's interesting to me, God says to his people, I'm going to give you all of this land, but the very first city I want to give you, I just write at the beginning, let's go for the most impenetrable one. Let's just do that first. I like that about God. He's like, let's not work our way up. I want to show you, I want to show the nation something real quick about who I am. Let's go to Jericho. And so then he gives this crazy strategy, you know. Joshua, the commander of God's armies, Israel, he's like, what's the strategy? And the Lord speaks to him. Here it is. You ready? Military strategy of the ages. It says, it's going to be a 7-day strategy. Day one, you're going to march around the city, all of you. March around the city. Okay? Day two, do it again. Day three, again. Finally, on the seventh day, you're going to do this marching thing again around the city, and then blow the trumpet and shout to the Lord really, really loud, you know? And that's the strategy. And he's like, okay. And he was a wise leader. That's why God liked him. He's a man after God's heart. He knew God. And so he said, yep, we'll do it your way. So they obey. And as soon as they shouted on that seventh day, God, who knows what's going on in the spiritual realm. I'm imagining, you know, thousands of angels, big ones, coming and just crushing these walls in the natural. The walls just crumble into powder, just crumble into dust. And all of a sudden, it's like, hey, it's open season on this city. The walls that kept us out are removed. The barriers are gone. Now all that's left is to go in. And it says they took what was in the city and they devoted it to the Lord. They took what was in the city and devoted it to the Lord. So I have all this in my mind when the Holy Spirit's speaking to me in this vision. He says, just like the walls of Jericho, the walls of Islam, everyone around every single nation, they will come down. Those nations belong to the Lord. That real estate, it was created by God. It's for him. And those people are for him. They're for his glory. He loves them. They're going to be liberated from Islam. They are going to be liberated from communism, Hinduism, every other thing that you can think of. Right here in America, we got our own walls as well. They're all coming down. And the Lord said this to me in that vision. He says, and I am right now, even now, I'm training my army. That's us, my bride. He says, I'm training my army, and they're in training, and I will have them in place at the right time. And when the walls comes down, they're going to charge in. They're going to take the people, devote them to the Lord. And I had this vision, and it just shapes me. And I knew the army. Like in the experience, the Lord would speak to me about this army. And they were marked by three things. What are they? You guys know. What's the first one? Who said it? Passion? Yes. What else? You guys heard me talk about this. Purity? What's the third one? Power. Passion, purity, and power. And I knew that this army, it was like God's people, but they were worshipers first. They were totally in love with Jesus. They could not be purchased. They were so passionate. They would lay down their lives and they would do it with joy as an offering to the Lord because they were in love with God, because they understood how loved they were and that he loved them like this, and that love back to him would be awakened to the same degree with everything. And I knew that this army was marked by power. I mean, purity was the second thing. They could not be bought. They could not be enticed by the world. You know, so many people are just enticed by the world, and they don't go all the way in their calling and following after the Lord because they don't want to let go of the world completely. But like this army God's raising up, he's like, they're going to be so in love with me. They're not going to be enamored by the world. They're going to be enamored by me and by my kingdom and by eternity. They're going to be looking at the age to come and hastening the day, you know, like Julia just mentioned, and ushering it in. And they'll walk in purity and righteousness and in holiness. And the third thing was they're going to walk in unprecedented power. Because this kind of people, God is going to just entrust them. They're going to do miracles, signs, and wonders, great exploits that glorify the Lord. And as I'm seeing this army and the Lord speaking to me about this army over the years, I just had this. This is what happened to me when I was in college. Autumn and I both. I'm just like, Lord, the rest of my life, this is what I'm all about. I will be, by your grace, I will be part of this army. I will, it's by the grace of God, I will do whatever it takes to be one of the passionate ones. I don't want to be lukewarm. I will be purity and I be pure. I will walk in purity, whatever it takes. I'll confess my sins when I need to confess my sins. I'll humble myself when I need to humble myself. I'll ask for help when I need to ask for help. I am, by the grace of God, I am going to walk in purity like that. And then I am going to walk in the power of the Spirit. Even if I only have a little bit that I can see actually flowing through me now, I'm going to use it and max it out until he gives me more. You guys with me? And so this is my dream. This is what I want to do. This is why when we came to Huron, our vision for Huron, it was never, ever in my heart to just plant a nice church. You know, if all I get by the end of my life is a church of 500 people or something, you know, that has a good budget and people like each other and they get along and a couple people get saved every year and baptized and blah. Serious. Like, no way. That's not what I'm aiming at. I'm not, you know, it's like football. You know, like the running back. Sorry, I'm using a sports illustration. It's like football. It's like the running back. It's like, I'm not thinking first down. I'm thinking touchdown every run. You guys with me? And so I'm not thinking just nice church. I'm thinking city devoted to the Lord. 80% of the population on fire for Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, gathering together as church and meeting as house of prayer, going to the nations, etc. So one of the things I am looking forward to as we come to the end of the age, and we've been talking about this. I just did a series on our blessed hope, right? The return of the Lord. All the things that we have to look forward to, why it's so hopeful that Jesus is returning, there's all kinds of good things. What I want to do right now, probably the next few weeks I'm going to do this, I want to actually talk to you now about some things that I'm really, really, really excited about before Jesus returns. Because there's some amazing things it's going to do even before he comes back and all the glory, grand stuff that happens then. And so I'm thinking, like, I used to live in Hawaii. I'll start with this. I used to live in Hawaii. And I love to go in the wintertime. You could go to the North Shore. And I wouldn't dare get in the water, but because the waves were massive. I mean, we're talking, they get 20, 30, 40 feet high. And that, I always thought that's going to be cool. Before I moved to Hawaii, I thought, oh yeah, I'm going to move to Hawaii. They have big waves and I could bodyboard. I like to bodyboard is what I did. I'm like, I could do that. That'd be fun, until I got there and saw them. And when you stand on the beach, you can feel them. I mean, there's so much power in these waves. I mean, you just have to, the sound. I mean, it is like thunder. You know, you stand there on the beach and it's just this massive, long, wide wall of water, just, I mean, higher than the roof. Boom! And when it hits, it's just like, you know, it's so loud. And that was before I was a believer, but I would just, it was like awe. You would just stand there and listen and watch and feel awe. And there would be a few, like, really, really good or crazy or both people who would go out there. But mostly, you know, once I got there, I'm like, I'm afraid to even touch the white water as it comes in. Because even the white water would take you for a ride if you didn't know what you were doing. And I just sit there and watch, you know. And I remember one time when I first got there, it was big waves, but smaller scale. So we're talking like 10-footer type things. And I was so excited and naive. And I just moved to Hawaii. And I was like, oh, this is going to be so cool. Because there's people who know what they're doing. And they're out there and they're riding these waves. And they're getting tubed, you know, the curl is coming over them. And I thought, yeah, I can actually get tubed in these waves, man. They're huge. And so I'm so excited. I got my bodyboard. And I start going out. And I should have got a clue when it took me forever just to get past the white water. It's so powerful. Like, the wave would break, the white water's coming in. You guys know what I'm talking about? We don't have oceans here, so you guys know? Okay. The white water would come, and the white, I'd try to duck under it, and it'd take me all the way back to shore. And I'd be like, man, this is powerful stuff. I should have stopped, but I didn't. And I went back out, and I finally figured out a way to get beyond the white water. And now I'm out there, and these waves are coming, and I'm like, oh, man. And then finally, I caught one. I would actually say it caught me. And I'm like, oh, I got it. And I'm on the surface of the water. It lifts me up the face of the wave, takes me over the top, and then I'm free falling. No joke. Free falling, bam, just slap the water. You know, I hit the water, and then on top of me, plunge me. I mean, I didn't know if I was going to drown. I didn't know where I was. I was under the water just rolling and rolling. And I didn't know where up or down or anything. Rolling and rolling and rolling, go on and on. And I'm like, I don't know if I prayed or not. I wasn't a believer then. And so finally I came up and I'm like, out of the water. I'm watching. You know, that's all. I'm alive. I still love to go to the beach, but here's my point, what I'm getting at. I think that one of the, an experienced surfer, to catch the best waves, you know, that's the glory, right? I mean, that's Surfer Magazine. That's like, those are the ones I get on YouTube and just watch these crazy guys on the 40-foot waves, and it's so awesome. And, but the good ones, you have to know, not only see the wave when it's coming, but you have to be in the right position to catch it at the right spot. Because there'd be a lot of times I'd be in the water, smaller waves, but I'd be in the water and I'd be like, oh, that's the most perfect wave. Except if I was about like 30 feet to the right, I'd be on a great ride. But because I wasn't, it was impossible to catch in this position that I was in because I wasn't positioned to catch it. And here's what I want to tell you. They're one of the big waves of anointing that is coming. And I think the first initial waters are starting to rise already on this in the earth. Is there is a wave coming from the Holy Spirit at the end of the age that is going to complete the Great Commission. So every single nation, tribe, tongue, village, they are going to have exposure to the gospel of Jesus with power, with the Holy Spirit bearing witness. There is a wave, a tidal wave of God's power that is coming in this way. And I think it's smart as believers who are alive in this season to say, Holy Spirit, where are the big waves? And how do I get myself in position so when that thing comes, I'm riding it? You guys with me? I mean, I want to make disciples. I want to do great exploits that glorify Jesus. And so this big wave that's coming, it is an anointing to make disciples. It is anointing to make disciples and win people to the Lord. And we need to start practicing. So I want to read you Matthew 28. Daniel knew I was going to say this. Matthew chapter 28. You guys with me? It's on your notes, I think. Here's the commission. So Jesus ascends, or he rises from the dead. He's about to ascend, and he looks at his disciples, and he tells them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, what? Yeah, go, right? And what are you going to do when you go? What are you going to go do? Yeah. Where are you going to make disciples? All nations. Okay, so you go preach the gospel. Somebody says yes to Jesus. It's time to disciple them. What's the first thing you're going to do? What does he say? You baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And then what are you going to do? Then you're going to teach them to obey his commands, right? Which includes going out and making disciples, right? You multiply more disciples. And then he makes this promise, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. It's the promise of power and God's assistance to help us fulfill the mission. So then he makes a promise in Matthew 24:14. Jesus is talking about the end of the age. His disciples come to him, and he's like, when are these things going to happen? Talking about the end of the age. So when, right, is the question. And then the other question they ask him is, what will be the signs that the time of your return is at hand? The end of the age. Give us some clues. Give us some signs. He says, okay. And he gives them a whole bunch of signs. And among these signs, one of them is this promise in Matthew 24:14. He says, and this gospel of the kingdom, it will be preached in the whole world. Notice that's not contingent upon us. That's one of those promises. There's many promises that God makes. It depends on our cooperation, right? But this promise, his zeal, he loves the peoples of the world that he made. He's like, oh, I promise you, your cooperation determines your level of blessing in it, whether you're involved. But I am personally taking responsibility. This gospel of the kingdom, it will be preached to the whole world. I will get people who will do this with me. And he says, and it, as a testimony to all nations, and listen, and then the end will come. It's the big wave that we want to ride, amen? So I'm going to just share a few stories with you of some things that God's doing right now. So I'm always looking because I'm thinking taking cities, right? I'm thinking, let's get walls torn down, demonic walls, and let's take cities. Let's take regions for the Lord. So that's what I'm looking at. And so when I hear stuff like this, I totally pay attention to it. So there's these things that God's been doing around the world, which I've talked to you about before, but they're called church planting movements. And it's just rapidly multiplying disciples and new churches, just simple churches like Daniel mentioned they're doing in China. And one of these stories that really caught my attention is a guy named Ying Kai. He's an apostle. I think it's in China, but he's in somewhere in the East. They don't tell me the country, but I'm guessing it's China. He goes to this city, totally, basically unreached with the gospel. And he goes there and he starts off with, he goes to a church and he's like, hey, I'd like to, he goes to the pastor. He says, I'd like to, any of people in your church that are interested, I'd like to train them how to make disciples of Jesus. And the pastor's like, okay, sounds good. So 30 people from this church meet him. Training session number one. He teaches them how to share their testimony and he sends them out. Go share your testimony and then come back next week and I'll teach you lesson two. So they go out, they're sharing their testimony with people. Only a few of them, you know, there's a few who actually do it. Most don't do it. You know what I mean? Or many of them don't do it. Anyway, what ends up happening, but some people get saved. So he tells those guys, You just, the ones you led to the Lord, go teach them how to share their testimony. Lesson one that I taught you last week. Go teach them that. And then he teaches them lesson two, which is like be baptized or something, you know. He's just discipling them. What happens with this movement starts with 30 people. Listen to this, 30 people. In 3 months, 30 people became 200 new churches. Not 200 new disciples, 200 new churches, 18,000 plus new disciples. 3 months. That's ridiculous. That's a 40-footer. That's a big wave, right? And they, oh, he caught it at the sweet spot, and he's riding it well. But it kept going. And this is the most famous church planting movement that I've heard of. And, you know, finally it ended up becoming, it was like over 2 million new disciples. It was like over 180,000 new churches had started. And this has been investigated. They actually, teams have gone in to investigate these claims because they're like, really? Are these real churches? Are they mature disciples? And they go in and they're investigating it, and they actually researched it, you know, and their report was they're underestimating. Nobody can really count how many churches there are. It's multiplying so fast, only God has the number in his mind. Nobody really knows. They try their best to keep track, but they just can't keep up with the multiplication of new disciples that's happening. Do you know why that's happening? Because their premise is this. Their premise is it's not up to Ying Kai to win China or whatever place he's at, that city he's at. He trains the disciples. It's your job to go make a disciple. And they go out and they do it. And then they train that guy. It's your job to go make a disciple. And they go out and they do it. And when they're working as an army, each one playing their part, you have a massive wave created by the Holy Spirit. You guys with me? Okay, so these church planting movements, that's the most famous one I've heard of, but there's actually tons of these happening in the nations right now, many of them in persecuted nations. I read an entire book. I'm probably going to buy it for all of the intercessor team members and give it to you for a Christmas gift. It's called Miraculous Movements, and it's how God is moving among Muslims. There are so many Muslims coming to the Lord right now. I could give you statistics, but for time I won't. Tons of them in these nations through these church planting movements. And this is just one thing that God is doing. I'm not even talking yet about the prayer movement, you know, that is happening and exploding around the nations. I was at and these guys are bringing this to America now. So we have this guy who's an American. Actually, I need to tell you this story because this is a good story. You're going to like it. One of these church planting movements, I just heard this a few weeks ago. This guy goes into Southeast Asia somewhere, and it's this valley where the gospel's not been. It's an unreached, unengaged people group. I mean, the people are unreached. There's not enough Christians there to reach their own population. And they're not even engaged. They're unengaged, which means there's not even a missionary there who's seeking to bring them to the Lord yet. But now they're engaged because he's like, I'm going. And so he goes, and he gets in there. And he meets this, you know, goes into the community, wants to pray for people. This demonized woman comes to him. And she's like, can you get the demons out of me? She goes, because I'm tormented with these fears because they worship these spirits and they don't really have a concept of the supreme God. It's just these tons of spirits and they live in constant fear trying to appease these spirits. She's demonized and she'd gone to the, you know, the shamans and witch doctor type guys and they couldn't get the demons to leave her. What about you guys, you Christian people? And so they pray for her for hours and hours and hours. And they're inexperienced at this, the guy telling his testimony. He's like, finally, after hours, we were just worn out. And we were like, God, can you just get her to a place where we can go home and then we can come back and try again tomorrow? And they were just at the end of their rope. You know, I know what that feels like. I've done that. I've been there. And then finally, when they're at the end of themselves, they don't know what else to do. You know, this demon is talking through this woman. And the demon says through this woman, the demon says, I can't leave her. He says, because if I leave her, I have no place to go. And they're like, that's your problem, you know? They're just like, you have to leave, you know? I don't care where you go. And so, and then the demon says this, the demon says, but if I go, then God will come into the valley. Well, the demon leaves. She gets saved, and God came into the valley. They started making disciples, and there are just multiple churches planted in villages throughout that valley that are still going on and multiplying today. And this story was incredible. This story here was a man who went through a tragedy who lived there. And he was literally the demoniac in the Bible. He went through a tragedy and he went insane. Just something snapped. He went insane. This guy was completely consumed by the demons to the point he was so violent to other people. I mean, the people in the village are like, we don't know what to do with this guy. He's so dangerous. They took him out into the jungle, put him in a cage in the jungle, left him there, locked in a cage, bound with ropes inside the cage. And just because he's dangerous, he's going to hurt, kill somebody. They're like, we don't know what else to do. They just left him out there. But he has a grandfather who lived in another village that was a ways away, a long way to get there, who was a believer. And so while this guy's in the cage, bound with ropes in the jungle, he just remembers the name of Jesus. Doesn't remember anything else, just the name of Jesus. Doesn't even remember much about Jesus, that his grandfather worships this person, somebody named Jesus. So he calls out to the Lord. He just said, Jesus. Instantly, he's in his right mind. The demons leave. And he's in his right mind, and the ropes that bound him just fall off. And he gets right out of the cage. He goes back into the village. People see him, but he's like different. He's totally in his right mind now. And he's just like, I've got to go. I've got to get to my grandpa's village so he can tell me about Jesus. And so he walks this long, long, long way through the jungle, gets to his grandpa's village. His grandfather shares the gospel with him, disciples him. This guy is a pastor now, ends up becoming a pastor. Just incredible sample of the wave of power, God reaching the nations. Amen. So I'm at this training in Nashville, and I'll end with this. In August, I go to a training in Nashville on church planting movements because we're doing this here now. We're just in the initial stages of getting these things started, and pretty cool testimonies already. You know, we're seeing people start to come to the Lord that are now we're discipling them, like me and Jeff and Sarah and Lisa and Stan and Cecile. I'm training Cecile as well and different ones. We're out there. This is cool. So Jeff and Sarah, they have a training church that they started. You know, it's some believers from another church here in town that are like, teach us how to make disciples. And so they do it. She trains them how to share the gospel. They go out and share the gospel, and now they've led people to the Lord that they're meeting with now and starting to train. So it's pretty cool. And then, anyway, some cool stuff that's happening there. Let me just share this. So I'm in Nashville, and it's like 30 people or so in this training. And what's ended up happening is American believers, and a lot of these are Baptist, honestly. A huge number of these are Southern Baptist church planting movements that miracles are happening, and they're open about it. They're talking about deliverance and healings, and they're wanting the power of the Spirit to come. They're totally open to the tongues thing and prophecy, and they're being directed by dreams and visions. I mean, it's amazing. You know, I'm fellowshipping with these guys, wonderful brothers and sisters. And these guys, some who are missionaries over in Southeast Asia, different parts of the world, and overseeing these national leaders, these church planting movements, God speaks to them, says, move back to the United States and get these things going in the United States. So 5 years ago, I was talking to one of the key guys. 5 years ago, eight of them met in a cabin in the mountains of North Carolina to pray and strategize, how are we going to start getting these things going that we've been doing for a while over there? How can we get these things going in the United States? And now I asked him, I said, well, eight people. I'm like, how many do you have practicing right now? And he's like, well, we don't know the exact number. But he says, you know, probably 150 or so. We're in the initial, very beginning stages of getting these things going here. But God, these things are already starting to take root and happen right here in the United States. It's really awesome. So I'm at this training, and I'm hearing these testimonies. I'm seeing what God is doing through church planting movements. It made me so excited as an American. I'm like, I can't wait to see the Church of America in 15 years. Like, what is started right now? The wave that is building, like a snowball, has so much potential. And these guys are devoted. I mean, they are lifers. They are They have an excellent spirit, man. They study their craft. They're just tearing apart the scriptures, you know, just learning how to make disciples the way Jesus did it and the apostles did it. And applying it, I'm like, man, there's going to be so many new churches and disciples in 15 years in America. I'm so excited, and I want to be part of it. I want it right here in South Dakota. But then I started thinking, most of these guys don't even know, because the world I'm coming from is the prayer movement, you know, and IHOP and this stuff. I'm so excited what God's doing there, and now I'm seeing this whole new massive river movement that God's doing in the missions church planting movement. And I'm like, wow, this is amazing over here. And I know this. I'm like, most of these guys I'm in this training with, they don't even know about IHOP. They don't know about the prayer movement at all. I mean, they love prayer. They're like, yeah, we like prayer, but they have no clue about the prayer movement or what God's doing there at all. And the other thing, I think of three different movements, that I've really been influenced by in my life. I think of the prayer movement, I think of the missions movement, and I think of, I call it the revival movement. So I think of like Toronto and Bethel, those kind of guys, you know what I mean? Where there's the signs and wonders and the Father heart of God and all that kind of stuff, you know, encountering his presence type deal. And I'm like, most of these guys are unaware of the revival movement, probably not participated in it at all. But I know a lot of guys in the revival movement who have no idea about what's going on in these church planting movements. Very unfamiliar with the prayer movement. And I'm just seeing this, and I'm like, I feel like God's allowed me to taste of the goodness of the three streams. And I just feel in my spirit, and I thought of this before I saw your thing today. I was planning on saying these exact words. Convergence. God is going to bring these three movements. They're coming together where the prayer movement is fueling the missions movement and people being healed up by the Father heart of God, understanding their identity as sons and daughters, carrying his presence and seeing signs and wonders and taking the nations for Jesus. Prayer movement bringing down demonic walls around city and nations and people of God going in, taking them, devoting them to the Lord, like quick. Amen. So praise God. And this is so cool. So I was planning on saying that today. And then I come and I grab your pamphlet. And it says, Converge, Prayer, Missions, Revival. I'm like, confirmation. It's so good, man. No wonder I love you guys so much. I mean, as they're telling me their vision, you know, we're meeting over dinner or whatever, I'm like, if I didn't know I was called to Huron, I'd so be in China. I'd be with you. I'd be like, teach me Chinese, and I'm with you. I'll just tell me what to do. I'll go make churches and disciples and houses of prayer. Amen? All right, let's pray.